Well, welcome to another Sunday. And I was thinking about, you know, you get to see a lot of things on the news and things like that, or listen to the radio and stuff like that. But what comes to your mind when you hear the phrase that they're established?
It's done.
Done? Anything else?
Rooted and grounded.
Okay. Kind of like you're here to stay?
Yeah, here to stay.
Yeah,
here for a while. Mm-hmm. They've been there, done that. I mean, we can see that it's standing the test of time.
Who might come to mind when you're thinking about some company or an institution that's established?
Like Apple Computer.
Apple? Okay.
ComEd.
Yeah. They got a lot of my money.
I guess.
Hershey's chocolate.
You know, when we look at our lifetime, it looks like they've always been around.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these companies are only 100 years old. Some of them, Apple, how long did Apple been in existence?
That's
30 right. years?
Yeah. 1974 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So their establishment is really relative to our perspective. But if you think about it, anything that's man-made is never established.
Right.
It's all going to fall sometime. Countries fall. Land masses fall. You know, that isn't necessarily man-made, but you know, buildings fall. Houses will deteriorate. But things that are established are only things that God creates. The things that God is involved in making happen is the only thing that really is established in a biblical sense.
Yeah.
Because it will stand the test of time. Because God always backs up whatever He says. So we're going to look at this first usage of the word established in the Bible, and it deals with Noah. Noah in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and go to verse 17, and it says, "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die."
Whoa.
I think that was probably a pretty bad scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But with thee, I establish my what?
Covenant.
Covenant. And what's a covenant?
A promise.
An agreement.
Okay.
Yeah. A promise. More like an agreement between two as a covenant, where one promises to do something and the other one promises to do something. So for God, what was this covenant that He's talking about?
Keep reading.
Yep, let's keep reading. "And thou shalt come in the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives, and thee, and every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee, and they shall be male and female." So his agreement was, if you'll just build this ark and you'll do what I say, then I'll save you and your family. That's a covenant.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. So all of mankind came down to this one family. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. Now, there was a reason that God had to clean up the rest of the stuff, the evil that was in the world, and that was to give His Son a chance, you know, that that man could be redeemed through His Son. And so anyway, the second usage deals with Abram.
Mm-hmm.
It was sometime later. Sometime later they came in with Abraham and Abram. And Genesis 17, verse 4 says, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. So, now we start to see the covenant being fleshed out here. So he was promised that he was going to be the father of many nations.
Yes.
Right? Now, what was Abraham's responsibility? Let's read. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And that Ham part indicates the lineage, the fatherhood. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a much bigger covenant than what was given to Noah. Now he's promising that Abraham is going to be the father of many nations and that this was going to be an everlasting covenant. It wasn't going to end with his life or even his children's life. It was going to last for generation after generation. And so this promise to the seed of Abraham is a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's mentioned in the New Testament, too. Mm-hmm. So it's carried out in the continuation of that promise, even into this administration. So, it's pretty neat.
Yep.
I will give unto thee, verse 8, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. Now, did the Israelites stay in the land of Canaan this whole time?
Mm-mm.
Not that they owned it. You know, there might have been remnants of that Israelite nation that never left, because that's a land and people live in land. But as far as a nation, they were destroyed many times. Now, the people that's there now, I couldn't tell you right or wrong whether they're part of this whole plan or not, but that is still a promise that those children are going, those children of Abraham are still going to live there as a fulfillment of the promise. So there's not going to be a break in the covenant that he had with Israel. So now watch what we have, you know, what had to be done on Abraham's side. Verse 10, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be what?
Circumcised.
That's right. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. Well, what was one of the ways that people established covenants in the Old Testament?
What did you say?
Well, I'm talking about when people would make a covenant between themselves.
Salt covenant.
Salt covenant,
oh,
right?
So
that was one. And what was the other kind of covenant?
I want to say blood, but I have no clue.
Absolutely. Blood is the other main way that the covenant was sealed, was with blood. And this is that covenant. This is the blood covenant. Blood was shed with the cutting of the foreskin. So this is the blood covenant that was established between Abraham and God. Yeah. So, remember, it's a token of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 12, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of a stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, he that is bought with money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. You know, when he was first given this, everybody had to get circumcised in his family, in all his servants, and all his household.
Brokenness,
no. Not.
Yeah.
That's right. They got their deal in another way. And the uncircumcised man, child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Now this was the word of the Lord to Abraham and to his seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you start to see where the problem really laid when Paul was given the revelation of the mystery and of grace, and he was saying that this covenant was completed, that there was a new covenant with the believers. Okay?
Yes.
A new covenant with the believers.
They
no longer had to do this. But coming from this background, you start to see that a lot of emphasis is put on this for Abraham. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
And so, you know, 3,000 years later, when Jesus Christ has ascended, and they said that this is no longer needed, this is really a mind war for these guys. Because they're thinking, all right, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that he came to be the Messiah and to be the Savior of all men. But we understand from the Scriptures that all men have to now become Jews under this covenant that was given to Abraham.
Oh, but Abraham wasn't a Jew when it happened.
Right! You remembered Romans chapter 5. Exactly right. The covenant was to Abraham while he was yet uncircumcised. So the circumcision came after the promise was given. So that promise is what the believers, the Gentiles, was tapping into, not the circumcision part.
Oh, the promise came after.
Right. Okay, let's read further.
Right.
15. We'll end there. So, is the act of circumcision all that was required for these guys? No. But it was a sign of the covenant.
The token.
Okay. That was like the showing of it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the completion of it. It was the showing of the agreement of faith between the children of Abraham and his seed and God. Okay. There's no act that's going to make a changing of the heart. But it was the showing, a token of that agreement in their hearts that needs to be established. So let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 6.
Oh, it was a showing.
Yeah, a token. Even as Abraham believed God.
Right, Galatians what?
6.
3, 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of what?
Abraham.
Well, are we the children of faith? Are we of faith?
Yeah.
So that makes us
children of Abraham.
We aren't physically of his seed, but we are in this way. By faith. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Not just the nations that came out of his seed, but all nations are going to be blessed because of the faith of Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse of the law. Why? Because of the agreement. You see?
Mm-hmm.
When you make an agreement, it's a pact. And if you're going to live by that pact, that agreement, now you've got to fulfill it. So, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So if you're going to try to live by under the law, you've got to live by the law. And that included a lot of don'ts and consequences to don'ts. Thou shalt not. And if thou shalt do that, then thou shalt suffer this.
In that old administration.
In the old administration.
Right.
So if you're going to say, I'm still under the old administration, and do the circumcision as a token of that, then you've got a lot of other things that you better be fulfilling too. And even if you do all that, it doesn't matter, because you're not going to be able to do it like Jesus Christ is, and you're still going to find yourself having your sins amplified.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's read on. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. For the just shall live by what?
Faith.
And the law is not of what?
Faith.
But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So all those curses as a result of not following the law was taken up by the cross of Christ. So when he died, all that cursing was paid for.
Wow. Nice.
Okay? The cursing, when they say cursing, it isn't like God's cursing us, but that's the consequences to the sin.
Yeah.
It's like if I run off to the cliff in a car and I say, I'm okay, all the way down, there's still a bottom.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a consequence to that foolishness. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, there is an encapsulated explanation of why we are no longer under the law, the covenant that was made with Moses. Okay? Now, the covenant with Abraham was one thing, but now we're going to have a covenant with Moses. So, Leviticus 26, verse 1. This is where the law is being established.
Leviticus 1.
26, verse 1. Leviticus 26, verse 1 says, ye shall make no idols or graven image, neither rear ye up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land, to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. there's somebody that is a friend on Facebook that's a believer, and he was getting upset because of all the statues being taken down. He said, well, we ought to take off all the statues and erect statues to God. And I wrote back, I said, I understand the sentiment, but I think God would have a problem with that.
Yeah, right here.
we're not supposed to raise up images of God, because number one, no one knows what God looks like, so what are you going to do? The thing left is your imaginations or what the devil inspires. Okay. So we're going to see that there's other things here. Verse 2, ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. I was talking to somebody else the other day, and they were saying that they weren't seeing miracles in their life. And I said, well, you've got to be careful not to confuse miracles with blessings. Miracles are going to be something that's extraordinary that would not normally happen in the natural world. But there are other ways of your life being blessed, like rain in due season, your land shall yield increase, and trees shall be fruitful, that are there because of the blessings of God. You're going to find your phones, you're going to find your scissors, you're going to find... But those are blessings.
Oh, okay.
because of you having a relationship with the Father that we need to recognize as blessings and be thankful for them every day.
But it felt like a miracle.
Verse 5, and your threshing floor, or your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. In other words, whatever season is going to be carrying you into the next season, you're not going to have times of famine. And I will give peace in the land, you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And of course, we saw what happens when Israel didn't do this. They got all these things happen to them. All right. Verse 7. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Now, in this time and day, we still have an enemy, right?
Right.
Right. That hasn't changed. And the inspiration that he does in people, the influences, still are there to buffet and try to hinder us. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean, no matter how it looks, the principle is still the same. We're not facing people with swords now. We definitely do face people who would like to hurt us, either through backbiting or laying traps for us and things like that. But God says that you have within you my power. And that chases, you know, 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that chases off the enemy. We have that. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you.
Mm.
See, this is another covenant. It encapsulizes the covenant to Abraham, but it's a new agreement. Do you see it? It's new contract. It's a new contract. The old contract with Abraham, that's never been gone. As far as the faith of Abraham, circumcision was a token of that faith, that agreement. But now that token has been accomplished. Alright, verse 11. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not harbor you. Abhor you. Verse 12. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people.
Yay.
Now, I'm sure that God is present always with his people, but there's going to come a time when he will come to earth and set up his kingdom here in the book of Revelation. Pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the new earth.
The new heaven and new earth. Yeah. Verse 13, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondsmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. This covenant was a continuation of the original one given to Abraham, because these were Abraham's kids. But this is a new covenant. It's kind of like an addendum. Deuteronomy 29, verse 10. It says, ye stand this day before you, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains and your tribes, your elders, and your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the heifer, from the hewer of thy wood, and to the drawer of thy water. Nobody gets left out. That thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. See, God made this promise to the children of Israel, but then he also made another promise, another covenant, with one of these Israelites, and that was found in Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, 5.
Isaiah 5, 9?
No.
9, 5.
Okay.
For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garment rolls in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it, with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do what?
Perform
this. See, earlier than this, God had made a covenant, a promise to David that he was going, from his loins, was going to come the kings. His throne would be established, and that the Messiah was going to come from that, his bloodline. But this is the covenant that God made with his, that son of David, which was also his son.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
See, the first covenant was replaced by a better one. When the better comes in, the lesser, when the greater comes in, the lesser is done away with. Okay? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7.
I know where you're going.
Then he knows where I'm going. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the last.
Second.
That's right. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins.
Mm-hmm.
But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are what?
Sanctified.
Is that you?
Yes.
That's right. That's right. One offering he perfected. You. Blows my mind. Because I live in this body, I know that I am not perfect. But in God's eyes, I am already perfected. All I have to do is adjust my brain, renew my mind to that, and I can start living like God's kid. It's all the old man that keeps coming up that stands in my way, that makes a block for that. Mm-hmm. But when I can get past that and renew my mind, believe what God says about me, I can live like this. Amazing. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he hath said before, this is the covenant that I will make with thee. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into thy hearts and in thy minds, will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. It's just so legally perfect. God took care of this in every possible manner and way. It's just amazing how it's just laid out. You see, what God has established, no man can change. Only He can make a change in a covenant. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need to be established in the faith. Established in another way, in our renewed mind. We need to establish our mind and our thinking toward this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3.
18 was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Which one first, what?
1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to do what?
Establish
you, and to comfort you concerning your faith. See, we need to know more and more about this. We need to study the Word. We need to be able to take the Word, listen to it, read it, and put it in our hearts. Timothy was sent there to help them do that. But it doesn't happen automatically. Just because you get born again does not mean you get established in this faith. You need to have this time to work on it. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. So, Paul warned them ahead of time that he was going to have to go through some bad things.
Mm-hmm.
He says, look, now it's happened. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by any means the tempter have tempted you and your labor be in vain. See, they didn't have Skype. He didn't have Skype. He didn't have instant message to say, how you doing? How's mama? You know, he didn't have any of that. He had to send somebody. There had to be messages physically sent, letters physically carried, one to another. And I just love the way that, but when I could no longer stand it, I had to know, I love you guys so much. You mean so much to me. I just had to send somebody to bring me the news.
Cool.
Yeah, that just shows his heart for the people that he ministered to. I believe verse 6 says, but now, when Timotheus came unto you, from you to us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, love, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our afflictions and distress by your faith. For now we live, if we stand fast in the Lord. Of course, if we don't stand fast in the Lord, things get a lot harder than he was experiencing. See, we have our part to contribute to this covenant. Okay, everything, every covenant is a two-way street. It's a contract. So, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4. We'll end there. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Debbie and I were talking about an idea of best practices for her workplace. And one of the things that we were kicking around is this culture, this business culture of no gossiping. What was the company that had a strict policy?
Dave Ramsey.
Dave Ramsey, you know, he's who he is. But he has a company policy that any of his employees that is caught gossiping gets one warning. And if they don't heed that warning, they get fired.
He hears it the second time.
Yeah.
That's the entire company, though. They're fired.
It's meant to be a very strict policy. But he understands from the word and from experience just how devastating gossiping can be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what gossiping is. That's where I don't want to approach you and confront you and tell you what's bothering me. I want to tell everybody else what's bothering me. But for companies that develop a culture of discouraging this, they work together much better because then they have a trust that they are not going to find that I'm trusting this person, but I'm finding out that they're stabbing me in the back with everybody else. It's hard to keep a trust going that way. So anyway, that forward mouth and perverse lips, that gossiping. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. It means you don't get distracted, either from the good things or the bad things. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. That's right. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. It's kind of like you stepped off the path and you got into the quicksand. Pull your foot out of that. So, it's good to know that God, when He establishes things, no man can change it. We can't change it. We can enjoy it. So let's enjoy it by keeping our hearts and our thoughts geared toward looking at what He has promised us and what the life is that He set before us.